So, Dr. Quinn, can you present your 52-year-old man?
Sure. So, it's a 52-year-old man who at age 38 had a nephrectomy in Mexico for a kidney mass. We have no details of that. He then presented to us with a left neck mass 14 years later, having had no interval issues. The mass showed papillary cancer, which was TTF1 negative. We were concerned about a thyroid or a lung primary. The fact it's negative makes that less likely. Staging showed multiple lung metastases and two liver metastases. Bone and brain scans were negative.
Before you go on in terms of what you actually did, I'd like to get the group's take on what they might do. Dr. Hudson, what would you be thinking?
I mean, I think we need to start lining up systemic therapy. If you know, usually when I approach someone that has metachronous metastatic disease and that's non-clear cell, I'm thinking about, are they amenable to metastectomy? Always is an option. I mean, I really think that's a valid option for that group. If not, and they have more systemic disease, then you're going to have to move along the lines of systemic therapy once you've biopsies confirmed the diagnosis. And outside of the clinical trial arena, you know, you're left with your standard approaches with this. And so we think the concern right now, if I'm right from what David said, is that we think this is a potential papillary tumor. It would be nice to know if it was a type 1 or type 2. And so I'd probably be sending that information off to a skilled pathologist for it. Sometimes that may take us several weeks to get back. Based on the disease burden of the patient would dictate whether or not I would proceed forward with therapy and the availability of clinical trial while I'm waiting for that information. There are c-MET inhibitors and other TKIs that are entering phase 1 trials that we have access through our phase 1 program with Dan Van Hoff that we could use down the road, but wouldn't necessarily preclude him from starting systemic therapy now.
And how does it affect whether it's a type 1 or 2?
Well, because c-MET inhibitors for type 1 and type 2 is associated with generally a more rapid progressing course with the fumarate hydratase abnormalities there. And there's some implications whether you have a genetic-based tumor. So given the, how old was this patient, David?
Diagnosis 38, but when we saw him, 52.
So, you know, younger guy. I mean, some of these, we have an emerging kind of genetic referral program at Baylor, and so I would probably send them to see the geneticist even just to review with it. But it's unclear that this is a genetic syndrome for him. But I would have them go through testing anyway for that. And then sometimes I found it very useful to have patients get their therapy with me, but also I have them contact Marston Linehan's group at the NIH because he has a variety of different government-sponsored programs for non-clear cell histology. And I've had patients referred to them, and they get on the registry of the government, and then the nurses there will call if they get new trials and opportunities for them too. So I guess to summarize, I think we confirm the diagnosis. We send it off for expert pathologic review, potential genetic analysis, and then based upon the tempo of the disease, make a decision to commence therapy with one of our targeted agents, of which there's no necessarily right one to go with if you're having to just choose.
So this patient's actually been seen by a genetic service at Los Angeles County Hospital and does not have a diagnosable syndrome and has had extensive analysis.
So what happened with him?
We started him on everolimus. He had a response that progressed at about 7 months with new lung lesions and growth of other lesions. We then put him on sorafenib, and he had bad problems with hypertension and hand-foot skin reaction, but had a major response in his cancer. The neck mass basically went away. He had 15 months of disease control and has now begun to progress again with growth in the mass, pain, and also progression in both liver and lungs, new lesions.
So have you treated him or decided what you're going to do?
We just got the scan yesterday.
So good. Well, maybe we can get some more input from the group. Dr. Hudson.
Yeah, so I think, David, that's an interesting case because anecdotally, I've had some benefit of using sorafenib in these patients. I mean, it's not really been shown, and we've shown that you can really use any of them. But I guess since sorafenib was the first to market, I've had just more years of experience using it. And so I'll often consider that earlier in a papillary type patient than I would necessarily for a clear cell.
Dr. Figlin, any thoughts about this case or this issue?
I think it's an unmet medical need. I mean, I think that, as Walter pointed out, this is a basket of diseases. We're trying to get at them from the perspective of their biology and what's targetable. And I think that we all see a handful of them on a regular basis, but we really need a consortium approach to the management of the non-clear cell histology, which has not really been established. But generally what I would do in this situation is exactly what was described. I would use either a TKI or a TOR, and I wouldn't be able to choose between which one.
And I mean, I'm kind of surprised to see this patient having two objective responses. Is that common in this situation with non-clear cell cancers to see objective responses like that?
Well, probably what's more common is that they don't respond to these agents and march right through it. But then there's the occasional patient that has this kind of response that says to us, there must be something about one person versus the other. This is clearly the outlier, and that's why we treat them. But many patients receive the things that we've been talking about and don't benefit at all.